Triple M's Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Thanks to Toolkit Depot. All the top trade brands under one roof with everything you need to get the job done. Shop in store or online. Toolkit Depot. The Rush Hour. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
It's Friday afternoon and we cannot wait to bring you this show today. We've got Tom Papley joining us from the Swans, but we'll also speak to Brent Reed about all things NRL and plenty of opportunities to get involved in the show with the all-rounder sports quiz, but also, what did you borrow and never return? Gussie, how you doing, mate?
Mate, I'm fantastic, mate. What a fantastic Anzac Day. Gee, it's one of those days now, and we've spoken about it on this show many times. The young people have got behind it, which means it's going to be sticking in our nation's history forever and ever and ever. The fact that they've just got behind it so well. 85,000 people attended dawn services in the capital cities of this beautiful country, plus so many other people everywhere around. It was really a wonderful day. And what I love the most, boys, is today was the number one day for asking for a doctor's certificate so you could have a sickie. 53% up on any other day in the year is the Friday in between Anzac Day and a weekend if it lands on that particular day. So it just goes to your Australian spirit. It's all about having a great time, then bludging off if you can.
Yeah, I think we have to be better as a nation. You know, we know it was obviously a great day yesterday for the Anzacs and the veterans, and it's a great celebration. We've been through so much, I suppose, in a city, but yesterday, just to be in and around the city yesterday morning, watching people march and then heading out to Rudy RSL, it was, mate, I love our country, and you know what? I'm so proud that we have a wonderful nation.
Yeah, there's a reverence around Anzac Day that's so special to get to either a dawn service or one of the commemorative services, and then, yeah. You know, then it starts to open up and later on the day where there's a bit of sport to attend or two-ups. Big two-ups at some of the RSL clubs. Place.
Exactly right. The highest two-up play of the day appears to be two men playing for $1,800 in a pub in Paddo. And you spent Anzac Day down in Canberra, Jude, because you were calling the Giants game.
They hammered them. Yeah.
What was it like? I was talking more about Anzac Day rather than the fact that the Giants won. But yeah, the Giants did hammer them. What was it like down there, mate?
Oh, no, incredible. And I think obviously the war memorial down there, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and the like. So, yeah, the service there looked incredible as well. So, yeah, I think this whole state does it so well and we hope may it long continue as well.
Exactly right. And footy did a really good job as well, both codes to making it right. And that's what we're going to talk about next.
Exactly. So much footy yesterday. The full-time highlights from the Roosters and Dragons at Allianz. Shut up. The
footy's on Triple M. Triple M rocks footy. Full-time highlights for Mitre 10. Download the Mitre 10 trade app for a trade discount. T's and C's apply.
Can't get rid of Luke Geary. Gets it past the Sloan. Sloan kicks it over the top. He's chasing. Oh, he doesn't get the bounce. Hunt's there to pick it up. Gets a pass away. It comes across now to Sewer. Sewer for the line. Reaches out. Reaches out and scores.
Smith goes right side. Walker. Quick hands to Desco.
Dom Young for the corner.
Oh,
it would have been a different story.
Terrible mistake. Going to see a try to the Roosters out of absolutely nothing. Just a forced pass, which Ben Hunt couldn't handle. Scooped up, sent out to Angus Crichton, and Crichton goes in. Walker puts the kick in. Manu chases. Manu gets there first. It goes to Walker. Kicks over the top. Chases it through. Oh, I don't know if he got there first.
We are awarding a penalty try.
Yeah, okay.
We have a decision.
Yes, yeah, cool.
Penalty try.
Up they go. Batted back. It's still alive. It's still last. And it's going to be a try to Nat Butcher. Butcher took the ball. Got around two defenders. Reaches out, and Nat Butcher, the boy from Malabar, scores for the Roosters.
Played then to Brown again, given to Jack DeBellin.
There we go.
He must score. He must be over the line. He is. Jack DeBellin gets over for the Dragons.
Comes back to the right now, gets it to Walker. Walker offloads to Keary.
Keary throws the dummy. He throws the dummy. He's gone right through the veteran, and he's tripped over, but he's got up and gone again. And the little general's gone over for a well-deserved try.
Comes down in the field of play. I think it's knocked on. It's play on. It's play on. It's Manu who picks it up for the Roosters. 1 minute he's on the right side. Next minute he's on the left. And they go over. There's a good ball from Watson. It goes to Crichton. Crichton sends it back inside the Teddy. And Teddy goes over right out of the posts. It's up they go. Lomax misses it. Sua gets it. They just got numbers that they can get out left. They do, as Lomax sends it over to Eisenhuth. And Eisenhuth gets a rare try. And Walker puts a kick in. The chase is on. Who gets there first? I'll tell you who gets there first. Nat Butcher for try number two. The left side they try. Gets it away to Swalee. Swalee reaches out and scores. Swalee reaches out and scores. Full-time siren has sounded in the background. A beautiful event it was today. Roosters 60, Dragons 18.
Yeah, fantastic call from the boys as well. And Walker picks up plenty of assists and also 10 out of 10 with the goal kicking as well. That could have gone on forever for Roosters fans. And, of course, earlier in the day, New Zealand upset 27-24 by the Titans. Their first win to go with their bye. They're on 4 points now. And the Dragons, 18. The Roosters, 60. Storm, 54. Gave it to South, 20. Let's go with the Storm and South still. What is going on at the Rabbitohs?
Well, obviously, there's not much confidence there, and you know they haven't got their full complement of players, and it's unfortunate, but it's a bit of an attitude thing with the players, because I think Demetrio, he can only do so much, but when you go down to Melbourne, they've never won down in Melbourne, so but you want to steel yourself with that. It's one way to turn the club around is make sure that you go down there and you've got to go in siege mentality. Big occasion, they just didn't show up. They tried early, but. Mate, it was like a training run for Storm Millie. They got bored.
He still says the season's salvageable. Is it in your eyes they're languishing at the bottom of the table?
Yeah, look, there's still plenty of time. You've got Latrell to come back in a couple of weeks, and you've got some young players there, but something's got to turn. Look, I feel sorry for David Ferner as well. David Ferner comes in to be the defensive coach, and that's his first opportunity, and he's got a lot to do there. Some of those tackles I'm missing, it was just crazy. It was amateur stuff. And also, Tane Milne, at the end there, what he did to Munster, that just goes to show the attitude of not so much the clubs, but some of those players, mate. They don't want to do the hard yards. They don't want to dig in. They don't want to do the right thing by that jersey. You've got to represent that jersey better than what they have been.
Yeah, I think you got a couple of weeks for that already, and you can't obviously blame Ferner at the moment, but he needs some time there with that defensive unit, that's for sure. And what about New Zealand? They led 12-0 really early, looked fantastic, full house, looked like they were absolutely flying. And then the Titans came, and in the end, got the job done with some really good defence in the last 5 minutes or so when you thought the Warriors were going to nick it.
Yeah, well, look, I'm happy for Desi and happy for the Titans, because the Titans have had a couple of close calls, and they just haven't fulfilled that 80 minutes. They haven't gone down to the wire, but they learned a good lesson, and they went over to New Zealand, which is a hard place to win. And I've got to say, AJ Brimson, mate, his best position is at the back. Like, the more he touches the ball, the better it is. He makes everyone else around him a lot better. They played some really good football there. But once again, the Warriors, this is the problem. As soon as you start saying, oh, mate, this team's it's a premiership-looking team, blah, blah, blah. This is what happens. You've got to be consistent. And I know the Warriors, I think Andrew Webster, he's just saying that we've got to play consistently well and can't be, just floating in and out of games. There was still a chance at the end of the game, but I'm happy for the Titans they won, and AJ Brimson was outstanding.
What did you borrow and never return, Gussie?
Yeah, this comes off the back of obviously being at TED last week in Canada, and my jacket I lent to Kesha, the rock star. And we've now seen photos of her going canoeing, kayaking, whaling.
Whaling?
Around.
She's not whaling. She's not on a whaler.
No, come on. She's on a boat looking at whales. Oh, what does that mean?
That's better,
what
mate.
What does that mean?
She's not harpooning a whale.
Yeah.
She hasn't gone to Japan and started harpooning whales.
She's not doing that. Yeah.
And I actually gave her my jacket because she was really cold at TED when she was waiting in the food line. Mm. And I haven't got it back. So we've been searching all week for it. So I've sort of given up the ghost. I reckon it's done and dusted. This oversized jacket for her is now going to be something that she owns and not me. But there's plenty of stuff over the journey, boys, that I've sort of stolen or taken, or someone's lent it to me because I needed it and I've never given it back. And it got to the stage where it happened so often with me and my mates that we came up with a rule that if you didn't ask for it back inside of a month, the person got to keep it. Because obviously you didn't miss it. You know what I mean? That was sort of the philosophy, and that's the rule behind me and my mates. So there's plenty of stuff now that I go, is that was that mine? What? But yeah, mate, you didn't ask for it back. It's mine now.
Dale, what about you? What did you borrow and never return?
I like going to long lunches with mates and stuff, and then and sometimes when they mate, how good are those sunnies? Mate, can I try them on? And then sometimes they look good on me, so I just sort of keep them for a little while. And there was one time there, Marty Downs texts me. I must have posted a picture on Instagram like a month later. He goes, he slides into my DM, he goes, mate, are they my sonnies? And the same thing happened with Drew Mitchell, because Drew Mitchell saw me a couple months ago somewhere. He goes, oi, are they my sonnies? And he actually came to Triple M. I said, yeah, yeah. I said, I'll bring them to work. So he came to Triple M to pick them up. So, yeah, well, sonnies are a bad guy with me.
I'll put my hand up. Yeah. I borrowed a leaf blower from my neighbour, Andy, legend of bloke. And let's just say I walked out to the shed and it was still there. It's been, I reckon it's been a year. And I've now got a brand new one from Makita as well. I've got a brand new leaf blower.
Of course
it's beautiful.
You have, yeah.
You're going to give him the new one and you keep his old one,
I'll probably give his back, I think.
You've had it for a year.
Well, let's just say there might have been a bike as well as a road bike from one of my mates, Jason, is sitting in the back there too. And I'm sure it's
a road bike.
Yeah, I think he's got his own now, another one. But
Jason's got to be better too. How much money's Jason's bike worth? You reckon?
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's flog it off.
But give us a call now. 133353. What did you borrow and never return? Plenty of calls, Gussie.
Yeah, let's go to Danny and Hornsby to start the ball rolling. G'day, Danny. Welcome to the show, mate.
How are you, boys?
Good,
very
Danny.
Good.
Yeah, look, I got married, bought a house, and I did have a lawnmower, and I asked a mate of mine. He said, I've got one here. It's not that flash, but it should get you out of trouble. Look, I reckon I used it for 6 months. The catcher broke on it, so I took it down to the mower shop. And the guy said, mate, the catcher will cost you more than a new mower. I'll give you $50 for it and buy a new mower. And I said, okay, so I bought a new mower. About a month later, my mate rings me and goes, you got that mower? And I said, I traded in for $50 and got a new one. He says, my neighbour's mower, he wants it back.
Oh, you'd sold the mate's mower.
Wow.
So what happened?
Well, that was it. I said, well, mate, you told me I could have it, because he said, this will get you out of trouble. You can have it.
Yeah.
I said, okay. I thought you can have it means you can have it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I said I was happy to give him the $50 for it. That's what it was worth, but I don't know how he got out of it. But
that's great.
Oh, that's great. Brilliant. Well done, Danny. Thank you. Let's go to Christian there. Christian from Camden, how are you going?
How are you, legend?
Good, Christian.
Mate, what did you borrow and never returned?
About 20 years ago now, I borrowed my old man's golf clubs for a round or two with some mates, and he moved to Queensland, so they're still in my shed. He ended up buying new ones.
Did you use them often, Christian, or not?
Oh, at least once a year, but yeah, not often enough.
15 years later. Look out. Let's go to Keith in North Richmond. How are you, Keith?
Hey, boys. How are we?
Good, mate. What did you borrow and never return?
Gave them dragons yesterday, eh?
Oh, look out.
Oh, jeez.
Awful.
Anyway, we're at a grand final at St George Leagues. Would have been about 92 or 93. We come out of there a bit despondent and stuff, and there was this huge cardboard cutout of the Winfield Cup standing near the front door.
Yes.
So he said to the bloke at the door, he said, "Fella, mate, can we just take that out the front and get a photo with the club and that?" And he says, "Yeah, bro, off you go." So we've taken this big thing, it's about 7 foot tall, out the front. We're getting photos. My mate says, "Nah, it's not. You're going to have to come a bit further, a bit closer to the road to get the whole club." So we just kept going with it. We ended up in my mate's station wagon all the way to Warrington with it.
Oh, it's so good.
In the back of the station wagon with this big 10 millimetre cardboard cutout stuck on our head. So
that's gold.
Yeah, roll it out for the grand final each year. Fantastic. So let's go to Jono in Campbelltown. Wrap us up for us, Jono.
Fellas.
How are you, mate? What did you borrow and never return?
Mate, when me and Margie were living at the Lanier in Brain Avenue, we befriended a couple, and he lent me his whole AC/DC collection. And 6 months later, they broke up and moved away. So, score, Jono.
Oh, hang on. You've got a whole AC/DC collection, the whole lot.
Yeah, I borrowed it off him. And then 6 months later, they left.
Oh.
Well, did you ring him up and say,
live in Paris.
Mate, he's busted up with his missus. The least he could do is give him his AC/DC collection.
Mate,
back.
I thought it was better to let him have his space, Phillips.
Well said, mate. Beautiful, Jono.
Let's talk some footy.
Reedy's Mail. Yeah, if you want to know what's going on in the game of rugby league, speak to Brent Reed. And what about the future of the coaches at Parramatta and South Sydney? What's the latest, Reedy?
Well, obviously, dark days at South Sydney after that performance last night. I mean, it was pretty dire. South have got a board meeting on Tuesday night. I'm not sure anything will happen before then, Gus. I mean, they've got a bit of soul searching over the weekend to sort of review that game and go through what they can do and whether they should persist with the current regime. But obviously they gave Jason a bit more time a couple of weeks ago when they had the bye. They brought in Dave Ferdinand to help him out. But when you look at that performance, I mean, they're in a really difficult position again. And as I said, that board meeting on Tuesday night is going to be pretty important. Russell Crowe's back in town as well. So you'd imagine Russell will have a pretty hands-on role in any decisions from here. So we'll have to see how it plays out in the next couple of days. My understanding is they won't bring the board meeting forward. It'll still go ahead on Tuesday night. So we may have to wait until Tuesday for that. In terms of Brad Arthur, well, it's a huge night for him. I mean, obviously, he's been under the pump as well. He's made a big call bringing in young Ethan Sanders this week to play in the halves alongside Dylan Brown. And look, it's a bit different at Parramatta because they're very... I don't want to make this reflect poorly on South, but they're a very conservative club, should I say, Parramatta. They don't make rash decisions. They'll be really thoughtful. As it stands right now, look, they're behind Brad. But if things continue to go south, then obviously they'll review that situation. But they're a bit different to South Sydney. They're not privately owned, and they're just a club that don't... They do things slowly. Everything that they do is slow. With their recruiting of players, they go very slow. It's a very painstaking process. So that's the way we work with Brad, I think. And as it stands right now, I think they're behind you. But, you know, if results keep going downhill, then that can change pretty quickly. But they will be very slow and deliberate about anything they do with their coaching situation at Parramatta.
Okay. Rudy, what about the West Tigers, mate? They are on the up and up. They secured the signing of Taruva, one of my favourite little players, and then Shane Richardson.
Yeah, it's been a big couple of days, hasn't it, for the Tigers? Did really well to get Taruva because none of us knew about it.
Yeah.
They kept us all, you know, they kept that all under wraps really well, and I think people thought he might go to St. George Illawarra, and, you know, Penrith were obviously trying to keep him, but they were fighting a bit of a losing battle there. It looked like he was going to go to the Dragons, but the Tigers just snuck under everyone's guard. No one knew about it. It was all done on the quiet, very quietly, and they got themselves a handy player. And look, they're going to look at playing him in the centres. He'll be a backup to Jerome Buller at fullback as well, but he's coming to play in the centres with the Tigers. He's a great signing for them. And obviously, Richo, he's a guy we know. He's been around the game a long time. He's been there as an interim CEO. There were some whispers that Russell was trying to get him back to South. And, you know, he's obviously decided to stay with the Tigers. That's huge for the Tigers because in the time he's been there, if you look at it, they've signed Jerome Luai, they've signed Taruva, they've signed Olam since he's been there. They've made some big signings. So things are sort of changing, and they're changing in the positive under him and Benji Marshall. I spoke to Richo today. Look, I think he's enjoyed his time there. He really enjoys working with Benji. He sees a lot of promise in Benji. And he sees a lot of promise in that club, and he wants to be part of their future. So he's agreed to stay there for 4 years, wants to win a premiership in those 4 years. And it would seem a long way away at the moment, but there's no doubt they're a club that are making pretty rapid progress.
Rudy, what about Sam Walker? Obviously had 10 conversions and the try yesterday in the Anzac clash. And is he ready to commit to the Roosters? But he's also free to speak to rival clubs on November 1st.
Well, we spoke to him because what's intriguing about Sammy Walker is his contract at the Roosters ends the same time as Adam Reynolds' contract in Brisbane. He's obviously a Brisbane kid, grew up in southeast Queensland. He spoke to Brisbane before he joined the Roosters. Great Queenslander, another great Queensland kid.
Take it easy.
That's it.
And I'm sure he may be David Cherry Evans' successor down the track. Gussie, which I know you'd love to see him run around for Queensland. But, I mean, we asked him after the game last night, look, is there any interest in going back to Brisbane and eventually replacing Adam Reynolds? He said, no, I love the Roosters. This is my home now. This is where I see my future. This is where I want to be. I love this club. I want to continue to develop here. So good news for the Roosters because we saw how good he was. I mean, he was insanely good yesterday. If Rugby League Week were still doing their rankings, he would have got a 10 out of 10 on that performance yesterday.
Yeah.
And he's a different player, right? I mean, he's an off-the-cuff. Everyone compares him to Elfie, and you can see it when you see how he played yesterday. So I think the Roosters can keep him. Look, they're going to have to pay for him, but we know what the Roosters are like. They always find a way, eh?
Oh, yeah. I don't worry.
People are happy to pay for less.
I really don't worry. Once he has a bad game, they put him back to reserve grade. But Robbo, look, you know what, Robbo? This is the thing about our head coaches. Like, they know what they're doing. So, mate, great game from young Walker yesterday. No doubt Billy Slater would have liked that. Mate, you've got to tell me, what about Xavier Coates? He's He's playing some great football. He scored, I think, two hat-tricks this year and can find the try line and can defend too.
Yeah, and I think they're reasonably optimistic. That injury picked up the other night won't be too bad. Again, Billy Slater will be hanging on that because he would have walked into that Queensland team. The performance he's put in this year, he's such a threat under the high ball, isn't he?
And, oh, he is.
You know, it's intriguing. We watched Joe Swalee yesterday for the Roosters run around, and I could see, you know, there's been a bit of talk, Joe's in the mix for the New South Wales team, and I could see Madge McGuire even picking him just to combat Xavier Coates because Xavier's such a threat on the wing with his with his aerial feats and his ability under the high ball. So hopefully that injury's not too bad. Hopefully he's available for Queensland. But, you know, I'm sure Billy's got his fingers and toes crossed. That is the case.
Thanks for joining us, Rudy. Enjoy the rest of the round.
No worries. Great Queensland to Sammy Walker.
Thank you, mate. Cheers, buddy.
In 325 games and two premierships for the Sydney Swans, Jude Bolton learned how to do two things really well. Tackle people and get hit in the head really hard.
It's Bolton again.
Let's do one of those now. This is Jude Tackles.
Jude has a big tackle.
Well, 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 lads. Over in the UK, they've come up with a corker of an idea to tackle kids' addiction to their mobile phones, extending school days to a whopping 12 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
What? I mean, why stop there? Might as well just move the kids into school permanently, give them the big locker that fits a fold-out bed and call it a day.
Yeah.
It's tough enough to get most kids to enjoy school, let alone thrive. How could this possibly be a good idea? And it's all to get them off their phones, for Pete's sake. Thankfully, this has only been proposed over there in England, and we won't see this type of stupidity here. But how about just taking the phones off them? Or better still, get them into something they like, sport, music, art, whatever. Picture this, for example. Little Wendell, who was a model student, by the way. He had the girls lining up to be his study partner, I'm told. Little Dell, dragging his school bag, heavier than a bag of bricks, trudging home well after 7 p.m, having been there bright-eyed, bushy-tailed at 7 a.m, too exhausted to even muster a smile, and heads pretty much straight to bed. Brilliant, isn't it? Because nothing screams effective education like turning our children into further sleep-deprived zombies. And let's not forget the crucial life lessons they'll be missing out on. Taking 40 minutes to put their shoes on in the morning and driving your folks crazy. How to leave a half-eaten sandwich in the lunchbox as they walk in and just head straight to the couch. Oh, and what about the poor teachers? They have the toughest assignment without this. Already having to put up with unruly delinquents while being underpaid and overworked. I know a bit about that with you two. I tell you what, Bolton out.
Oh, yes.
Wow. The big fella fired up. What about this, boys? There's 3,000 snake bites a year in Australia. 3,000 snake bites a year. About between 100 and 200 need an anti-venom, right? So they're the ones you really have to make sure you get to hospital and you make sure you get the support and stuff that you need. But what is happening is people are getting bitten, then catching the snake and then whacking in like a Tupperware or an esky and bringing it into the hospital with them to say, oh, this is the snake that bit me. So what people at the hospitals are saying is, please don't bring the snake in. Mate, just simply take a photograph.
Take a photo.
We don't need the deadly snake in our hospital. Thank you very much.
Del, I struggle to put a huntsman into one of those Tupperware containers, let alone a snake. I'm not chasing after a king brown.
I would, see. I only feel it was a brave, mate. I'd go after that and say, no, I'm with you, Jude. Mate, I'm scared of snakes. And, mate, there's no way that I'm putting it in a Tupperware esky. See you later, snakey. I'll take a picture so I can show the doctors and nurses.
But if you've been bitten, aren't you just hightailing it to the hospital? Like,
well, there's a reason why people from the country get bitten by snakes, not from the city. If it was in the city, they wouldn't be catching it. That's
right.
For sure. We wouldn't even take a photo. So, but anyone, if you're in that situation, please don't bring a deadly snake into the hospital and try to ask the people who are about to save your life to deal with that as well.
Time for this.
The Rush Hours NRL Preview.
Yeah, fantastic footy so far. Anzac Day was three games of rugby league. Tonight means there's only one game of footy. You'll be hearing Dill call that at 8 o'clock. It's Manly versus Parra at Brookvale Oval, Four Pines. What are your thoughts, Dill?
This will be a tough game for Manly because the Eels got embarrassed last week up there in Darwin, and it's one of those things where you know when you know you go well against a side. Well, the Seagulls, you know, against Parramatta, they do it a little bit tough. Parramatta seem to have their measures sometimes, and I just think after being embarrassed last week, after being called part-time footballers, they need to dig deep, and then also don't forget Manly. they haven't consistently been up, you know. They sort of, when they lost to the Dragons and then even Titans, you know, a couple of weeks ago, took them to the wire in the 79th minute.
Manly for me at Brooksvale.
But in saying that, they're playing a Brookie and I'm going for Manly.
Yeah, I'm going for Manly as well. They were really good against the Roosters there, and it's a fortress again. It'll be a big, big crowd there tonight. What about the Tigers and the Broncos starting off Super Saturday?
Yeah, mate, once again, Broncos, they got some big troops, but obviously Ezra Mamm, he's out at the moment, so that's going to be disappointing for them. And also, I think Selwyn Cobber, who's been one of their shining lights. But, look, I just think they have too much firepower. You know, it's the Broncos. The Tigers have had some good news today with Taruva, but, yeah, Broncos for me.
Yeah, with Reynolds and Pass. Yeah, Brisbane for me.
Yeah, me too, for Brizzy.
It's been 5-6 weeks since he played, but, yeah, welcome back.
Yeah, you wouldn't have known it. They've played that well, the Broncos, and they're right up there with the Panthers and the Storm to win this comp. What about North Queensland against the Panthers?
Yeah, look, I'm going for the Panthers here. I just think the Panthers, they've got too much firepower there. And the Cowboys, mate, they got given a rocket by Toddy Payton, you know, and he just wants them to be better. And that spine, they should be playing better than what they are at the moment. They've got so much strike power right across the board. Even Valentine Holmes, he has to lift. You know, he's one of those players that they look to him.
Panthers for me.
Panthers and me too. Let's go to Sunday. You've got the Dolphins are on fire up against the Knights that have a little bit hot and cold.
No Kalen Ponga for me. So I'm going with the Dolphins. They're playing really good football. I love their energy. They play a fancy style of football, that second phase style, and they're very entertaining when they're on.
Yeah, they're sitting third for a reason. Absolutely. I'm going for the Dolphins.
I'm going for the Dolphins as well. What about the Raiders and the Sharkies? Two teams that can certainly play really good footy.
Yeah, the Sharkies, they're playing good football. They're up the top of the ladder there for a reason. They've consistently been well. But I reckon down there in Canberra, you know, I think Canberra can get them here. I'm going the Raiders.
Ooh, I'm going the Sharkies.
I'm going for the Sharkies and well, of course, the Doggies pick up another 2 points with the bye, and that is it for the footy on Anzac weekend.
Trevor Long's here.
Yeah, we've got the big fella on the line right now. G'day, Trev. How are you, brother?
G'day, Gussie. Very well, mate.
Good on you. What's this Meta AI's launch in Australia? What's all the fuss about?
Well, remember ChatGPT last year was all the talk, you know, website you go to ask a question, get an answer, write a poem, write an essay. And then they started doing image generation. Well, Meta, who owns Facebook and Instagram, they've built their own model for the same concept. So basically they've built a really powerful computer that has a lot of knowledge. And they've built it into kind of WhatsApp and Instagram and Messenger direct messaging. So you can basically have a one-on-one chat with an AI computer, ask it questions, get answers. I got one to write a poem. I even got one to imagine an image. I said, imagine a sunset over a mystic lake. And it created this picture generated from nothing other than my words. Very cool.
But Trevor, if someone's having a bit of a service complaint, a bit of a rant on, you know, maybe their Facebook posts or something like that, don't you want to talk to actually a real person in that sense?
There's never been a real person to talk to on Facebook in the first place. So it hasn't really, you know, putting anyone out of a job. And it's less about customer service and more about just giving you something in the palm of your hand. So let's say you're at a barbecue with your mates, having a debate about who is the 23rd Prime Minister. Just ask Meta AI and it'll give you an answer.
I'm pretty sure I've never spoken to my mates ever about the 23rd Prime Minister of Australia. I'm more likely to have the kangaroo drinking a beer.
Now, there's been a leak with the new iPhone 16, Trev. Anything new and exciting with the new model?
Every year I get these what we call dummies from China, and they're basically mock-ups of the new phone. This is 5 months before it's going to be announced. And I can tell you that the big difference I've noticed is every single one of the iPhone 16s, if this is to be believed, has an extra button on the side. And it looks to me like that's going to be the camera shutter. So if you're holding your right arm out, holding your phone, doing a selfie, the button will be right under your thumb so you can take a selfie without having to stretch your thumbs around and stuff. When you're out taking photos, a nice way of using your index finger as a shutter, just like we used to on a camera. So I think Apple's kind of doubling down on the camera on the smartphone being the powerful thing.
It's perfect for you, Dale, with all the selfies you take, mate.
Oh, please, mate. Smugglers. Please, glass houses. Hey, but Trev, look, I've got a real issue here. What about the new Kia Tasman Ute? What about someone's leaked the interior pictures? How does that happen?
Yeah, Kia's not happy, I'll be honest with you, because we wrote the article. Josh Dowling wrote it for EFTM earlier in the week and got a phone call pretty quickly from Kia saying, what are you doing? But look, the video was on the internet. Some workers at a holding yard somewhere in Sydney, I assume it was by the looks of it, they were going through the inside of this car, videoing it so we could see the interior. Because, you know, we've seen some basic spy photos of it, but we've seen the interior of it now. It looks mega. It looks like a high-end Kia. They do some pretty nice interiors. And this is, you know, it's fueling the fire around this excitement for a new ute to hit the market. Because, you know, that's the number one selling vehicles in Australia, the Hilux, the Ranger, and the Big Del. Oh, sorry, they didn't call it after you.
It's a bloody tragedy. Well,
they should shoot another ad. I'm up for it.
Well, for all your tech needs, go to EFTM.com. That's everythingfortheman.com. Travel along. Really appreciate it.
Whether you're on the train, in the car, or on the buses, it's Gus's Big Sports Quiz. There's a bit of everything in Red Rooster's Mega Box. Brought to you by Red Rooster Mega Boxes. The Rooster's calling you to try a Mega Box at Red Rooster today.
Yeah, and I'm feeling like chicken tonight. There's no doubt about that. And today I'm up against Scott. G'day, Scotty. How are you, champion?
I'm very good, Gus. How are you, boys?
Yeah, mate, going well, very, Scott.
Very, very well. Let's hand it over to the hostess with the mostest, Mr. Jude Bolton. Good luck, brother.
Yeah, good luck, Scott. You're taking on Gussie, but you also have your man in your corner, and it's Wendell Saylor. He has the answers, and you can use him once in the early rounds. You all right?
No worries.
All right, you, buddy. Ready to roll. First up, Gussie.
Yep.
The Dragons were humiliated in a record Anzac Day Cup loss yesterday. But which Saints player scored the first try?
Oh,
not that hard, Gus.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You just came off the bench. DeBellin.
No, mate. Jaden Sewer.
Jaden Sewer. It was a sensational
try. It was DeBellin under the post. When, that was
in the second half, mate.
Yeah. Sorry.
All right.
Might have had a few beers before then.
Scott, sorry. Sam Walker had a game to remember for the Chooks, but of the 60 points scored, how many did he score?
24.
Boom. Oh, he is on the board.
He is on.
10 from 10 and a try. How good was he?
Outstanding. Yeah. Gussie.
Yep.
It was 85 all draw yesterday in AFL's Anzac Day blockbuster between Collingwood and Essendon. But true or false, did both teams score the same amount of goals and behinds?
Oh, same amount of goals or behinds.
What do you think?
Come on.
What do you think, mate? Come on,
yes,
mate.
Yes.
True, yes. It was 12 goals, 13 each. All right. Scotty, who's currently leading the English Premier League?
Oh, this isn't my answer, but it's who cares?
It's a world game, mate.
I'm sorry, Del. I know this is not your wheelhouse, but I'm going to have to lean on you on this one.
Yeah, I know this, mate. Arsenal, mate.
The Gunners. They are. City is one back with a game in hand. All right.
No,
Gussie. Sticking with the EPL. Gussie, you're obviously a big Liverpool fan. You must have been so excited for the Merseyside derby as the Reds chased the title. Name one of the scorers from the game.
Now I know whoever put these together knew exactly what they were doing here. We lost 2-0.
Yeah.
I think Calvin Lewin or someone like that.
And
it's a double barrel name.
Dominic Calvert-Lewin was a scorer, as well as Jared Branthwaite from Everton, and who won 2-0.
Yeah,
2-0.
I just said that, Jude. There's no need to say it again. And secondly, he was offside. But that's okay. Don't worry about VAR. Just pick on Liverpool.
Yeah. All right, here we go. For the win, Scotty, which NRL game can you catch live on Triple M and Listener tonight?
Easy. Eagles.
Yeah, buddy.
Manly and Parramatta.
Too good.
Absolutely. Too good. Scotty, you get the $200 to spend at Red Rooster, mate. The Rooster is calling you to try Red Rooster's new range of Ripper Rolls today. You have a cracking weekend, Scotty.
Thank you very much, guys. You too.
Time to talk to this Swanee legend.
It's not every day we get to chat to a Swans forward who has two grandparents who played for the Swans when they were South Melbourne. It's almost every day in this next guest's case because we like chatting to him a lot. He's so Swans, his blood type is QBE positive. Please welcome back to the Rush Hour, Swans forward and good friend of the show, it's Tom Papley.
Yeah, and flying at the moment, the Swannies 5-1. Good to have you in the studio again. How are you, mate?
Cheers, boys. Good to be here again.
How are you feeling?
Yeah, good. It's 5-1. It's a nice start to the year. We obviously let ourselves down against Richmond, but the bye came at a good time for us. I think we knuckled down on some defensive work and sort of come in handy, really. And we showed on the weekend that we got back to our best, and that's good.
Tommy, Isaac Heaney got moved to the midfield this year, and suddenly he's like streets ahead in the coaches' votes. Has he been wasted as a forward previously?
I think he's sort of started AFL a little bit later, that academy product. I think sort of he's slowly growing his game. And then as a midfielder, I think he played a little bit last year, played all of preseason this year as a midfielder. I think he's sort of just grown and learnt a lot more about the game as well. Mm. He's such a great forward, but it also takes time to learn midfield patterns. And he's such a contested bull as well. But yeah, he's unbelievable at the moment. He's pretty hard to stop. And when they try stopping, you can just go forward and sit on their head. So it's good.
Toby Green got a week, last night at the tribunal. Yeah. Do players know the best way to attack or not? Is it still a grey area?
Yeah, it's a bit of a tough one. Toby's sort of he's a bit targeted by the tribunal.
Why didn't you use a good character reference?
JWH of the AFL. Yeah. Like, you just have to look at someone, they get a week.
Oh, come on,
it's
mate.
Pathetic.
He's put himself in a position a few times. But yeah.
he does sort of get a bit unlucky, I suppose, but he goes hard at the ball. It can be a bit of a tough one. Like, you also got to look after your opponents and things like that. So I sort of feel sorry for him at times, but he lives on the edge, and sometimes you're going to step over it.
Now, you provided a sensational moment at the SCG on the weekend. Let's take a listen now. Triple A call.
Gordon had it smothered by Flanders. Roberts got it back to Gordon. Left foot ball into the pocket. Oh. Back with a fight, Papley.
The pack.
Oh, the little raging ball from Bunyip. He was falling to the turf poles. He was inches inside the boundary, and somehow he just reeled it in. And listen to the crowd. They saw it on the big screen as he opens up the goal mouth.
Yeah, boy. How much do you love playing in front of the home ground at the SCG, but also having, kicking a goal like that and having a moment like that?
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. I sort of marked it, and I was like, geez, the crowd's going off here. It was sort of a pretty cool moment. I sort of haven't really, I was sort of watching a few highlights and stuff. I was like, geez, that's pretty cool. The crowd's going off here, and then to slot it was nice. And then I got a free kick on the other side, and
Could have got the back-to-back free kicks.
And then I had a shot on the other side, and they were going off again, and I missed it. It's all good. The crowd is amazing this year. Obviously, we're going all right, so it helps. But I think the school holidays, the 1 o'clock time slot, all the kids come out, all the families come. So it's really good.
It's a beautiful ground to watch sport, cricket.
Absolutely. Oh, it is anything, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Fantastic. What about the young blokes? Matt Rogers, Logan McDonald, two examples of young blokes really stepping up this year.
Yeah, Matty Roberts, he's really good. He sort of went to half back during pre-season and took it like duck to water. He's just skillful, smart, left footer, reads the game so well. Like, he's, some of his stuff behind the goals that we watch is just like someone that's played 150, 200 games, looking for his teammates, covering for him, for everyone down back. So he's a really big inclusion for us down there, and it gives us other options as well, like Ollie Florent and Lizard and things like that can run off and do their thing as well, so it's great.
Speaking of the Lizard, Nick Blakey, I mean, do you actually know what he's actually planning in his own mind? I don't think he even knows. He just takes off.
Yeah, look, he's there's not really a player like him in the league, I don't think, that's that fast, tall, and can jump like that. So he's a pretty unique talent and unique body size. He's definitely unique.
Mate, you want to be, yeah.
Yeah, he's a good man.
Well, you want to be playing good footy when you go to the G? You're confident against the Hawks?
Yeah, we obviously go in with confidence a lot of the weeks, but Hawks, they played well last week. Sort of things we've been working on is that consistency of playing back-to-back weeks. We obviously, against Richmond, we let ourselves down. West Coast really took it to us, and then we got Hawks. So we really need to be on our game, and because if you're a little bit off, anyone can beat you these days, so we really need to be on our game.
Hawks have actually played better against the better sides. We should have beaten Collingwood, in Adelaide.
We,
man, I've been supporting them before you were bloody born,
Yeah, that's
end of story.
Yeah. Fair. I don't know about that, mate.
Mate, good luck against the Hawks, mate, and yeah, best of luck for the rest of the year.
Cheers, boys.
Thanks. Tommy Papley,
good you, flogged on the weekend.
One of our favourites, mate.
Nico Hines, Monday.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
Let's go,
see
guys.
See everyone.
Love you guys.
Bye.
The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Weekdays from 4 on Triple M.